Would you take your Bibles this morning and turn them to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12 today. I'll read a couple of verses to you. Start off with, we're going to start in really one verse and we're going to expand. Okay, expand from verse number 2, but we're going to read verses 1 and 2 here to begin with. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. A very familiar passage of Scripture to us. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, we just came through the Christmas holiday, and of course, as you know, on Christmas we celebrate the greatest gift that's ever been given, that being God giving His only begotten Son to live a perfect life, to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. So that's God's gift to us. But when you really read Romans chapter 12, and verse number 1, you find out that we have a gift that we can give to God. Amen? We present our bodies a living sacrifice. Jesus came to die as a sacrifice, but we are to live for God as a sacrifice. Amen? So this is something you ever wonder, what can I give to God? Well, you find out in verse number 1 what we can in turn give back to God. Now, notice verse number 2. This is our main text verse this morning. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I think you would all agree that 2020 has been a crazy year. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then I don't know what planet you've been living on. But this has been a crazy. I know it's been a crazy year for me personally, and I know it's been a crazy year for our entire world. But a lot of people have struggled with many different things this year. A lot of people have struggled with the effects of the virus. Many of us have struggled with the virus itself. Others have struggled with the decisions that the government has made in relation to the virus. They struggled financially many times as a result of that. But really, many people have struggled with things that have nothing to do with the virus. For example, our country right now is probably more divided than it's ever been since the Civil War. So we've all dealt with that. We've seen that play out on the streets of America. We've seen that play out in the elections of America. We're in a very divided country right now. However, although 2020 may have affected us all in different ways, the part of us that has been affected the most is our minds. Our minds have been greatly affected this year. For the first 35 years of my life, I'd hear things people talk about mental health and things like that, and I would say, you know what? You know, as a young preacher, as a young Christian, even as a young pastor, I would say, well, you know, why can't we just tough it out? Now, I wouldn't say that to people, you know, but in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, why can't you know we just? I mean, if we're struggling mentally, then obviously we're not where we need to be spiritually. But not knowing, not understanding that just by me saying that, understand how much it revealed how much I was struggling mentally myself. You know, because I didn't quite understand that. But as I've gotten older, I've found out that's not always the case. As I've gotten older, and as I went through this year, I've found out that things are a little more difficult than they seem on the surface many times. But the Bible is very clear that as a child of God, we are in a daily spiritual war. And this war is not against people who say bad things about us. We need to get that. It's not against those who vote differently than us. This is not a war. It's not a battle between liberals and conservatives. It's not a battle against our government. No, the battle is far bigger than that. In fact, Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood, that's people. So the person you think is your enemy, they're not really your enemy. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is not a physical battle. It is a spiritual battle. And the place that our battle takes place is the mind. It's a battle of the mind. The mind is the battlefield. It's the spiritual battlefield. In verse number 2 of Romans 12, we find just how important our mind is. Paul says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, and notice this statement, by the renewing of your mind. Notice that statement. We're going to focus on that today. The renewing of your mind. The word renew or renewing means to make new or to renovate. So think about that. To make new or to renovate. Now, in the book of Titus, we see that initial renewing that takes place at the moment of salvation. The Bible says this in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So at the moment of salvation, the Holy Ghost renews you. When you get, in other words, when you get saved, your mind changes. Amen? Really, when you look at the word repentance in the Bible, that's what repentance is. You go back to the Old Testament, you read several times where the Bible says that God repented. Now, God didn't repent of any sin because God has never had any sin and God has never fellowshiped with sin. But what happens when God repented in the Old Testament, God changed His mind. By the way, He can do that. He has the power to do that. So God changed His mind. So what happens when you get saved, you change your mind. You change your mind from refusing to follow Christ to choosing to follow Christ. That's what takes place at the moment of salvation. And so the Bible teaches that. And so at that very moment, when you first get saved, that mind is initially renewed. But I don't know about you, but after I got saved, I didn't stay on the spiritual mountaintop for the rest of my life. Maybe you have. And if you have, give me some secrets. Give me some advice, because sometimes I struggle in life. Y'all look all spiritual at me right now, but I'm telling you, sometimes I struggle. But I've been saved, but listen, many times after you get saved, the difficulties and pressures of life come in, and you're not on the mountaintop anymore. Many times you get knocked down pretty quick, and we've all dealt with that. Many times the pressure begins to ramp up. Many times you find out there's an enemy that hates you. There's a devil who has wiles. There's a devil who has tactics. There's a devil who has fiery darts he wants to throw at you. And you find that out later on, you realize, you know what? The Christian life ain't like the TBN preachers tell us it is. It ain't all health and wealth. Fact is, because many of them say, well, if you're not wealthy and you're not healthy, you must not be right with God. Well, they hadn't read their Bible, amen? Because the apostles, they suffered greatly. Jesus Himself had no place to lay His head. But here's the thing. Though times get difficult, when we first get saved, that mind is initially renewed, times get difficult, and we need a consistent renewal. There's been times in my life where I've got so discouraged where, and maybe if you haven't, y'all pray for me, but there's been times where when I was supposed to be praying, I worried instead. Y'all ever done that before? Amen. I'm the only one. Amen. There's been times where, listen, I should have peace, and I've had stress. There's been times where I should have joy, and I've had frustration. There's been times where I should have been patient, but instead of having patience, I had impatience. Many times in my life, I've swapped humility, and I've chose pride instead, which is something we consistently deal with on a consistent basis. 2020, the year 2020 itself, has been a roller coaster for me, personally. We go back to the beginning of the year, and I was dealing with cancer then. And during the cancer times, really, I had the peace of God through that. I don't look at that. I look at that. That was a high time in my life. You say, well, that's weird, but I grew. I grew spiritually during that time. I had peace during that time. God helped me during that time. There was weaknesses in my life that I would have never known about or never would have been revealed about if I hadn't gone through what I went through. God helped me, and everything's going good. Summertime, feeling pretty good. But then, you know, late summer rolls around, and you start to, you know what, the devil has some tactics. He has some fiery darts. He starts to get you to focus on the maybes and the what-ifs. You ever do that before? He starts to get you to chase those mirages, those spiritual, the things that are not real, but he reminds you, you know what, they may be real. And the next thing you know, you were once on the mountaintop, and you thought, man, I am so spiritual, and I've grown so much. And the next thing you know, wow, I'm not as spiritual as I thought I was. And I forgot how difficult living for Jesus really is sometimes. Maybe that's just me, but it's been that way for me in 2020. But one of the good things about the new year is that word new. I like that word new. I don't know what it is. We don't read about the new year in the Word of God. We don't read. Nobody drops a ball in the Word of God. We don't really read about that. That there's no clock. In fact, man mended the clock. It should help y'all. God never mended the clock. But there's none of that. But the good thing about the new year is for some in our minds, it does. Maybe it's just me, but it motivates me to change some things. It motivates me to do better. And the gym memberships would agree. I mean, they're probably up a good bit this time of year. You may have some New Year's resolutions right now. You may have that. But what I want to help you with this morning, and what I want to challenge you with this morning, I believe would transform your life far more than a gym membership, far more than a new dieting plan, and that is renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. I want to challenge you with that this morning. Renew your mind in 2021. And I also notice three facts about the renewal of our mind that we find in the Word of God. Number one, this morning, I want us to notice the objective of the renewal. The objective of the renewal. Notice our passage here in Romans 12:2. Paul says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Why does God want our minds to be renewed? Because it will transform us. That's what we read in our passage. The word transformed in verse 2 comes from the Greek word that we get our English word metamorphosis from. So to give you a word picture of what's going on with this word, this is what happens when a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. He metamorphosizes. I don't know if that's a word or not, but it sounds really good. He metamorphosizes. He goes from a caterpillar to a butterfly. He transforms. And God says, when you renew your mind, you yourself will be transformed. You yourself will be metamorphosized. And it all starts with right here in the mind. Now, understand, to be transformed, you have to change from one thing, and then you become something else. Now, what does Paul say that we are before we renew our minds? If we're not transformed, what does he say we are? We are conformed to this world. Conformed to this world. When we are not constantly, consistently renewing our minds, we automatically follow the crowd. That's what we, by the way, when we get in the flesh, we follow the crowd. Naturally, that's what we do. We become victims of our environment when we're not consistently renewing our minds. I heard the illustration of a scuba diver to kind of give you an idea what's going on with this. A scuba diver lives in the water, but he breathes air. He's able to function because he takes his environment with him. If he conforms to the environment around him, he will eventually die. It's the same with the believer in this world. You could use the illustration of a scuba diver. You can think about a submarine. A submarine is to be in the water, but you don't want the water to come in the submarine because then you've got trouble on your hands. It's the same way with a Christian in this world. Listen, we are to be in this world, but we're not to be of this world. Now, that doesn't mean we go and live we won't come Amish, all right? We don't become Amish and build our own car. They don't even have cars. Ride our horses and build our own buggies and make our own. Now, if you can do that, God bless you. I wish I could. But we don't have to be, when it comes to being separated, it doesn't mean we're isolated. We're to be different than the world. We're not to be isolated from the world. And so, but here's the thing. If we allow the world, if we conform to the world, then we'll get ourselves in trouble. We'll drown out our spiritual man when we conform to the world around us. So we are living in this world right now, but when we begin to take it in, the environment around us can hurt us spiritually. Now, notice that word conform. That word conform means to mold oneself to a particular pattern or behavior. So when I'm conformed to this world, I make the choice to live and act just like the world. Now, we could go a lot of different directions right here. Where is he going to go? Don't get nervous. Where is he going to go with this world preaching? But here's the thing. We're going to stay in context. It's always safe to stay in context. Amen? In context, we find the main way that people are patterned after the world. Notice what he says. He says, it's how we think. It's how we think. When God gives a solution for us to not be conformed to this world, he says it starts in your mind. That's where it all begins. Now, in other words, God doesn't say, be renewed in your dress. You don't read that. God doesn't say, you know what? If you don't want to be like the world, just start dressing completely different than the world and you won't be like the world. That's not what he says. That's putting lipstick on a pig. Amen? You can dress it up all nice, but it doesn't change your heart. Amen? Amen. But now, he doesn't say be renewed in your speech. Well, just start talking right. Just don't talk like the world, and then all of a sudden, now you'll be spiritual. Now you won't be conformed to the world if you just don't talk like the world. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say be renewed in your company. He doesn't say, well, get good friends, get godly friends. If you get godly friends, then you won't be like the world. That's not what he says. He doesn't say be renewed in your attitude. Well, change your attitude, act more spiritual, and then you won't be like the world. That's not what he says. No, here's the thing. When you get your mind right, all those things take care of themselves. God, in other words, listen, the engine is more important than the paint job. Amen? It can look as pretty as it can be. The tires can be all pumped up, but you ain't got no engine. It ain't going to help you none. I'm not a computer guy, but the CPU is more important than the keyboard. You can have a fancy mouth. You can have a 65-inch computer screen. But if your CPU's messed up, the computer ain't going to do you no good. Here's the thing. You can clean it all up on the outside, but if your heart isn't right, you ain't right. Say it in South Carolina way. Amen? You ain't right if your heart ain't right. So here's the thing. You clean up the outside all you want, but the key is this. The key is the heart. By the way, Lee, what you talking about? When you read about heart in the Bible, it's not talking about this muscle in the middle of your chest that pumps blood. I hope we understand that, okay? The heart in the Bible is really up here. It's where it's at. So your heart, I know I'm confusing y'all. Yeah, that ain't what I learned in school. Listen, no, it really is. Biology didn't teach me that. No, spiritually your heart is in your mind. For as a man thinketh in his heart, you think with your heart. Amen. We'll move on. By the way, character, we're going a little further. Character is more important than reputation. It has been said this, that reputation is what others think about us. Character is what we are. People can think great about you all day long, but is that who you really are? And that's the problem many times. We're so focused on building our image up and making us look a certain way that we never take the time to really develop and let the grace of God grow us into who we really are. But that's the difference between character and reputation. In 2020, the world around us has been full of many things. It's been full of chaos. But one thing you see, one attitude or one action that you see with the world is this. The world is full of fear. The world is full of fear. But the fear, understand this, the fear of man, the fear of sickness, and the fear of circumstances do not come from God. The Bible tells us this in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound what? Of a sound mind. A sound mind. Listen, we got to get that. We are not more spiritual when we're scared. Here's what we do many times. We try to make our fear sound more spiritual. I'm just concerned. We use synonyms. I'm just concerned. I'm not scared. I'm just concerned. I just love my family. I hope I'm not plowing any tater rows here. Amen. But that's the way we think. We use the synonyms to try to make it more spiritual. But when, here's the thing. When we view circumstances that way, understand this, we're not viewing those circumstances the way that God is viewing those circumstances. In other words, in that circumstance, we're not seeing God for who He is in that circumstance. In fact, we're not seeing anything for what it really is when we view our circumstances that way. Because there will be no situation in your life, get this, there will be no situation in your life that you view with 20/20 vision if God's power, God's provision, and God's providence are not considered, and God's love is not considered. Anything you view, anything that you're going through, anything you're scared of going through, if you leave those out of the picture, you're not viewing it correctly. That's just the way it is. Where faith in God is present, fear of circumstances will be absent. Because, listen, faith sees God for who He is. Fear overlooks God for who He is. Now, listen, I'm not saying this as I'm a more spiritual than you. I'm not trying to sit up here on my high horse and saying, you need to do this. Listen, I struggle with this as much as anybody. If anybody, I'm preaching to myself today, because I've struggled with this. But here's the thing. Nothing good comes from thinking like the world. Nothing good comes from it. Nothing good comes from viewing this virus and viewing politics like the world. Because, listen, I can guarantee you, no matter how pure your motive may be, if you are more influenced by what you watch on TV than what you read in the Word of God, you're not going to see it correctly. You're not. You will not see the circumstances for what it really is. So we see the objective of renewal. One reason for the renewal. God doesn't want saved people thinking like lost people. It's that simple. Number two, the object of renewal. The object of renewal. If we are not to view the circumstances of life through the lens of the world, then how are we supposed to view the circumstances of life? We're supposed to view them like God views them. It's that simple. And we read about how God views the circumstances in His Word. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So, our physical loins are the most powerful parts of our bodies. Now, what would our spiritual loins be? Because He's speaking in a spiritual manner there. He's using a physical illustration to teach you a spiritual truth in that verse. So what would our spiritual loins be? Well, Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. So Paul says we should gird about our loins with truth. And then Peter says, those loins, that strong part of you is your mind. So what I got to do is I have to think with truth. Are y'all with me there? Now, the truth that Paul is talking about in this verse is not. Now, we know the ultimate truth is the Word of God, but what Paul is talking about in that verse is much bigger than just the basic Word of God. He's talking about facts. And of course, the Word of God is facts. He's talking about reality. Of what's real is what he's talking about. That's the truth that's being talked about in Ephesians chapter 6. In other words, we shouldn't view life by what ifs and maybes. We shouldn't be constantly focusing on worst case scenarios. Now, if you're building bunkers, that's amen. More power to you. I'm not building bunkers. I ain't got the money to build a bunker. But if you're building a bunker, save me some waters and V8s and some pork and beans and some fried chicken, and I'm good. Save me a place. But listen, there's other things we should focus on in this life. Amen? We should focus on, number one, being a witness in this life. Many times we lose focus of that. We're so focused on protecting ourselves, forgetting that God will protect us, but that we lose focus many times. Here's some facts. Here's what we leave out. Our tough times come along, stressful times come along, but here's what we leave out. There are some things that are real that we ignore in seemingly most of our circumstances, and that's this. Here's the fact. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a fact. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. It doesn't matter what your friends say. It doesn't matter what the news says. It doesn't matter. The fact is, He will never leave you nor forsake you. The fact is, His strength, here's a fact. That's one fact. Here's another fact. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you are weak, He is strong. Here's another fact. Listen, His grace is sufficient to meet your need, no matter what you face. You say, well, Brother Lee, what if I go through this? His grace is sufficient. He's there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He loves you. By the way, that's what the devil does many times. He tries to get us to think God don't really care about me. And God doesn't really love me. God loves you. God gave His precious, darling Son to die on a cross for your sins. He invested the most precious thing that He had in you. God loves you. But the devil wants you to forget about that. The devil wants to distract you from that. But that the fact is, God loves you. Here's another fact. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. Here's another fact. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. That's a fact. Jack, amen. Look at that right there. That's just the way it is. That's reality. The problem is we think our feelings are reality. We think the mirages that we're chasing are reality. Listen, a study was done one time that said 80% of the things we worry about never come true. How much time do we waste worrying? How much time do we waste in fear? And here's the whole time. While we're worrying, we're ignoring all the goodness of God. We're ignoring all the blessings that God has given us. Listen, God has been good even in 2020. I'm going to whisper that. Okay? God has been good in 2020. He was good in 1999. He'll be good in 2050. He'll always be good. That'll never change. And the promises that I just gave you, they will never change. Never. Y'all don't get too excited about that. Amen. I'm excited about it. I like that. Amen. The government cannot change these facts. Russia can't do a thing about it. Neither can China. Neither can the ACLU. Neither can PETA. Neither can the World Health Organization. Neither can coronavirus. None of those are going to change those facts one little bit. God is in control. God is on the throne. He's all powerful. And He loves me. And He loves you too. If you never heard that, you just heard it right there. God loves you. That'll never change. Listen, we can believe those facts, and those are facts. We can believe those facts and be blessed, or we can ignore them and be stressed. I think I want to be blessed, amen? I think I'm going to do that. But no matter what we think, it will not change the facts. You can't change the facts. Our minds will be renewed when we stand on the truth, the promises, the facts. Our minds will also be renewed when we think about the right things. This is important. Philippians chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, turn over to Philippians chapter 4. A very important verse, and one of the, if you could memorize, it'd be wonderful. It'll help you. Philippians chapter number 4. In this chapter, Paul gives us 6 characteristics, or you could say 8 characteristics of things that we should think about. Notice what he says in verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. This is what we just talked about. Whatsoever things are true. Do we spend more time thinking about facts, or do we spend more time thinking about what ifs and maybes? Don't dwell on the mirages. Focus on what is real. If it's not a known fact, don't dwell on it. So that's it. So we see the truth. You got to next, whatsoever things are honest. You said, "Well, Lee, it's the same thing." Well, you got the word honest there has many different definitions, especially in the Old English. This word, the Greek word for honest, is used 4 different times in the New Testament. It's used for, specifically, it's used in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It's used on a deacon and on a deacon's wife. And then in Titus chapter 2, it's used on the aged men. And it's translated grave. So grave. So understand. So that there's the meaning of that word honesty there. It's translated grave. So what it means in that passage, it means reverent. It means honorable. In other words, is it worth my time to think about it? Does it have any substance? Does that make sense? We shouldn't waste our thought life on things that don't really matter. That's what he's saying there. Now, some of y'all are going to leave me here. I have nothing against video games, okay? My kids got some for Christmas. But if all you do for life is play video games, your mind's not going to be what it needs to be. If all you think about is video games all day long, your mind is not where it needs to be. We can go even further. Any entertainment. America has an entertainment problem. We worship entertainment. And we're raising our kids that way. That's why they can't sit in church, because they're used to being entertained. Hello. Stop right there. Amen. Entertain. They won't be quiet. Let me give them some entertainment. No. We're raising a generation that wants to be entertained. So it goes further than video games. It goes to our hobbies. Can I make a confession? Many times I've sat on a church pew or chairs, and I've sat there, and my mind has been on things of no substance whatsoever. I'm not talking about ungodly things. I'm talking about things of no substance. I can take you back before I got saved and even after I got saved. Preacher preaching a little later, 12:10, 12:15, and the race has done come on. Now, we didn't have smartphones. We had flip phones were special back in the early 2000s. I didn't even have one of those yet. So I wasn't going to pull up on my phone or nothing. But listen, in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to have fried chicken today for lunch. Y'all can tell I love fried chicken. We're going to have fried chicken. We're going to have mashed potatoes, banana pudding. And, man, I wonder who's going to win that race today. Or, man, that football game yesterday. If they'd have made that one play, he'd have made that one tackle. And the whole time the preacher's preaching the Word of God, and my mind's somewhere else. How many times do we do that? Things that have no substance, we're sitting here, we dwell on them, we think about them. Not ungodly things, just things that are of no substance, that we spend so much of our hobbies. How much time do we focus on our hobbies? Nothing wrong with hobbies, nothing wrong with that. But don't let that be what you dwell on and think about all of the time. Does it have substance? Is it reverent? So he says this, but notice he goes on to say, whatsoever things are just. In other words, does what we consistently think about, does it live up to God's standard? If it's not pleasing to God, then it should not be pleasing to us either. Whatsoever things are pure. Now, this is a word that was used to describe whether or not something was worthy to be offered as a sacrifice. So we should run our thoughts through this same filter. Philippians 4:8 is one big filter. It's what it is. It filters things out. It's a filtration system here. So we should run our thoughts through this same filter. If I were to take this thought to God, if I were to say, God, okay, I'm thinking about this thought. Let me see what you think about it. Would God be pleased with that thought? That's what he's saying. Can I offer this thought to God? Would he turn this thought down? Is it pure? No, notice what he says, whatsoever things are lovely. Well, I love lovely things. Those flowers are lovely. No, that's not what it means. It's not talking about beautiful in that verse. No, it literally means, does it cause you to love? Does that thought cause you to love? In other words, if the thought that I'm thinking is causing me to be bitter towards someone, should I be thinking it? Oh, how many times do we do that? How many times have we found ourselves in idle time thinking things about people we shouldn't be thinking? You may have time. I know, this may sound weird. I'm a weird person. If you get to know me, you'll find out I'm strange sometimes. My wife will tell you. But here's the thing. I find myself struggling mentally more when I'm cutting grass. Be careful, Daniel Pretlove. Be careful. Amen. When I'm cutting grass or weed eating, I'm out there by myself, and you got all this time, and you're starting thinking, you're thinking, you know what? At church the other day, they looked at me a certain way. And you see the way they was acting? You know what halftime happens with that? It ain't got nothing to do with you. Nothing. People, many times, they're struggling with other things in their mind or other things. They're not mad at you. They're not upset with you, but that's not what the devil wants you to think. The devil wants you to think, well, they just think they're too good for me. It's got nothing to do with that at all. But listen, if the thought's not lovely, if that thought does not cause you to love your brother or sister in Christ, you should not be thinking it. Throw it in the trash. Throw it in the trash. That's what we should do. So is it lovely? No, whatsoever things are of good report. Kind of goes similar there. This refers to good things that we hear about others. Ooh, this one's good. We are much better at thinking about the bad things about others than we are about the good things, aren't we? Did you hear that bad report about them? Can you believe they did that? I saw it coming years down the road. Saw it. I knew it. They were doing this. I knew it was going to happen. Couldn't find out. You find out it wasn't even true at all. Now you'd be like a dummy. You convince yourself that you was a prophet. You never were. Listen, if it's not of good report, if it's not good news about it, don't let it go in your ear. Ignore it. Throw it in the trash. Don't dwell on it. He sums up these truths with this. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Virtue, the word virtue refers to excellence. In other words, if it's not excellent, if it's not complete, don't dwell on it. If it's not praiseworthy, don't dwell on it. Do you see how much we struggle with our minds? I read this and I'm thinking, I ain't got this figured out. But we struggle so much with our minds. More than anything this year, you struggle with your mind more than anything else. He closes with a statement. Think on these things. The word think is not just a quick thought. It's a dwelling. It's you're setting your mind upon it. Think on the good things. Don't think on the negative things. Think on the good things. Listen, by the way, this doesn't mean just one little thought coming into your mind. Listen, you can't always control what you think about. Sometimes you can. Now, if you fill your mind with trash, you're going to think about trash. If you constantly listen to trash and watch trash, you're going to be thinking about trash. But sometimes you have bad thoughts. Sometimes your dreams are bad. The devil can do a lot in your dreams. He will. That's a spiritual warfare many times. But listen, you can't help when a bird flies over your head. But you can help when that bird builds a nest in your hair. Amen. It's the same way spiritually. You can't always help when a bad thought comes in your mind. But when you think, "Oh, that's, I know it ain't right. It's good to think about." Right then, you're beginning to sin at that moment. So think about the right things. Dwell. When those bad thoughts come in, don't excuse them. Don't cater to them. Don't dwell on them. Throw them in the trash can. Get rid of them. How we think and what we think about is extremely important. Proverbs 23:7 says this, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Think about that statement. It's been said, listen, you're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. You're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. If you constantly dwell on ungodly things, you will be ungodly. If you constantly dwell on the negative, everything is, you're always glass half empty. Glass half empty. Everything's bad. Everything's terrible. God's blessed me so much, but I ignore that. I'll focus on all the negatives. I'll become a Debbie Downer or a negative Nelly. And it's all bad, bad, bad. If I constantly dwell on that, listen, that's the way I'm going to be. Don't be that kind of person. Now, who is our great example in all this? Of course, it's Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 16. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We should ask ourselves the question about every thought, every single one. Would Jesus be dwelling on what I'm dwelling on? Would this be too unholy for Jesus? Would Jesus be concerned about what I'm concerned about? Would Jesus be worried about what I'm worried about? I got news for you. He ain't worried about nothing. He's not concerned about nothing. Would Jesus be up in arms about what I'm up in arms about? Think about this one. What if Jesus was thinking about me the way I've been thinking about the other person? We want Jesus to forgive us, but we have a hard time forgiving other people. Their sins, I can't forgive them. They've done too much for me. But Jesus, please forgive me. That hurts, don't it? But it's true. What if Jesus viewed my sin the way that I view their sin? We see the objective of renewal. We see the object of renewal. Lastly, I know y'all ready for this to be over. The outcome of renewal. The outcome of renewal. Notice back to our text verse, Romans 12:2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Paul says when your mind is renewed, you will be able to prove, you'll be able to know clearly and see clearly the will of God. Alexander McLaren said this, "To know beyond doubt what I ought to do, and knowing to do it, seems to me to be heaven on earth. And the man that has it needs but little more. The one who is committed to God sees life with a sure eye. While the careless and uncommitted are in confusion, he knows God's will." Listen, many times as a teenager, when I first got saved, that's all I thought about, will of God, will of God, will of God, will of God. You conferences, it's the will of God. But the will of God is bigger than just marriage. The will of God is bigger than just your career. The will of God is bigger than the college you go to. The will of God is an everyday thing. The will of God, I need to know the will of God today. That's God's purpose for my life. That's what God wants. That's what God wills for my life. That's what God wants me to do with my life. Not just big picture, but every single detail of my life. The will of God is important. Listen, you can have half the Bible memorized, but if your mind is not consistently renewed, you're not going to know the will of God. Because you're not taking what you know about the Word of God and you're not putting it into practice. So it's your spiritual vision is fogged up. Listen, you may not have had 20/20 vision in 2020, but you can have 20/20 vision in 2021. Amen? Spiritual vision. But if you're not doing what the Bible says, you're not going to know, you're not going to be able to see spiritually, and you're going to make dumb decisions. How many of you have ever done that before? If you haven't, pray for me. But if your spiritual vision is not, you'll make dumb, ungodly decisions many times. But notice the descriptions in verse 2 that he gives about the will of God. He says it's good. Not necessarily good in man's eyes, but it's good in God's eyes. America itself does not know what good is anymore. We've messed that all up. As a country, we're doing exactly what Isaiah warned about. Isaiah said this, Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Listen, if God says it's a sin, then it's not good. That's pretty simple. That's elementary right there. If God says it's a sin, it's not good. And according to Romans 12, 2, if it's not good, it's not the will of God. That's simple. We can justify it. We can try to change it. We can try to, well, maybe it doesn't mean that. No, God meant what he said when he said it. He means it. So it's good. The will of God is a good. It's good, but it's also acceptable. Now, not necessarily acceptable to man, but it's acceptable to God. Are the choices that I'm making, are they acceptable to God? If they're not, then I'm not accomplishing God's will. Next, we see it's perfect. The word perfect, if you've read your New Testament, you know it means complete. It means complete. It lacks nothing. Listen, God's plan, God's purpose, living for God every single day will give you the fulfillment that you long for. Nothing, sin will not fulfill that. Now, Satan will try to tempt you and get you to fall into sin and to live in the flesh and follow your heart, which is deceitful above all things. He'll try to get you to do that. But what will give you more peace, more hope, more satisfaction than anything else is doing what God would have you to do. Follow God's will. Follow God's purpose. It's perfect for you. It's exact. You say, Brother Lee, I feel empty. The will of God will fix that. The will of God will fill you up. It's good. It's acceptable. It's perfect. I'm going to ask Jacob to come to the piano this morning. But as we approach 2021, I don't know what's going to happen in 2021. Listen, 2021 may be worse than 2020. This time last year, we thought 2020 was going to be just another year. Same old thing, going to church like we've always done it. Wow, that changed, didn't it? That changed. But here's what I do know about 20. There's some things that I do know about 2021, and that's this. No matter what happens, it's an opportunity to glorify God. And that'll never change. No matter what I go through, no matter what I face, it's an opportunity to glorify God. And listen, let me ask you this. Is that not what we're here for? What are we on this earth for? I know we get focused on our careers, we get focused on our hobbies, we get focused on our kids, and I love my kids and their careers, but what's the main thing I'm here for? I'm here to glorify God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's what I'm here for. He bought me with His precious blood. He bought me. My main focus is to glorify God. Listen, I can glorify God when I'm on a mountaintop, when things are going good, but when everything is falling apart, many times that's the greatest opportunity to glorify God. Because you know what the world's going to do? The world's going to get discouraged. The world's going to get down. The world's going to complain. But for the child of God, when everything's falling apart around you, when you look up to heaven, you say, Lord, I don't know why I'm going through this, but I know you got a reason. I know you got a purpose. I know you love me. I know you're powerful enough to take me out of this situation. God, I trust you and I love you. And I want to glorify you through this. No matter what comes this year, you can do that. View your circumstances through the eyes of truth. Renew your mind. Throw the junk. Remember, the word renew means to renovate. Tear the old. When you renovate a house, I ain't never done it before. When you renovate a house, you tear all the old stuff out. You take all the old appliances out. You take all the rotten wood out. And you put something new in. Take all the rotten thoughts. Take all the rotten habits. Take all the rotten things you consistently think about. Take them and get rid of them and put something fresh. Put something new. Put something good. Put something acceptable. Put something perfect in your mind. As Jacob sings today, the Lord spoke into your heart. I'm going to open this altar for